here with Matt Brees, a grad student in rhetoric at UT who's been teaching the rhetoric of trolling for 2 semesters, and in the process has accidentally become an expert on the art of trolling. There hasn't been much research done in this area, so this class has required a lot of creativity on his part. I talked to him about his course, which he's teaching this semester in one of our DWRL classrooms, and of course about the trolls in the underbelly of the internet, what they do, and how they do it. Hi, Matt.
Hi, Sarah.
So, what are you doing in the rhetoric of trolling? What does that mean?
So, first off, I should say, I am not teaching students how to be trolls. As a rhetoric class and a writing class, first and foremost, we analyze and write about arguments. And so we start off thinking about issues of anonymity and real names in specific online venues, but also analyzing comment sections and looking at trolling strategies and their responses and seeing how it works for a community and how it's productive and what it generates.
Why did you decide to design this class? What inspired you?
I was looking for a way to teach analysis that's not just Aristotelian in the normal logos, pathos, ethos sense. And I was inspired by Trish Roberts Miller's work on demagoguery. And designing this class, I wanted to think about kind of transfer that over into maybe still keeping it public, but online discourse. And it kind of seemed like there were some, initially at least, there were some parallels between her work and demagoguery that would translate. Although I found they are different, and ended up finding some interesting ways in which trolls actually use certain kind of strategies to accomplish their goals.
Like what? What kind of strategy? What kind of same one?
Well, things like false sincerity. Also with trolling, one of the things is it's about baiting. It's about trying to get other people to respond. There's also ways in which they provoke futile argument. Some of the maybe argument fallacies of attacking a straw person, calling arguments rumors, things that might actually just provoke other members and users in the community to respond.
What are some of your students' impressions of what trolling is? What have they found?
Yeah, so we just finished our analysis paper, and what they told me is that they found that trolling's far more common than they suspected once they actually started digging around. They also discovered that it takes many different forms. It's kind of funny, they noticed that trolls troll other trolls. They also hadn't thought about how, and they actually discovered through our lenses that trolls use actually strategies to get responses. And they also noticed that trolling is a lot more complex than just kind of flaming and insults. Mm. But I will admit that some of them found that, people just spend way too much time on the internet and waste their time.
What are you hoping that your students will take away from this class at the end of the semester?
Yeah, well, first and foremost, it's a writing class, so I want their to think about their writing and practice their writing and improve throughout the semester. But secondly, kind of a critical analysis to see things in a new and different light. Also, kind of a digital and public literacy combined, especially because trolling happens in online public spaces. And also think about their own ethical engagement within those spaces.
Mm-hmm. So this is your first time teaching in one of our DWRL classrooms. Every student, you know, could have a computer if they wanted one. It's a network classroom. How has that experience been, or how has it been different from teaching in a regular classroom?
Especially for this class, but the advantage, I taught this in a non-digital classroom over the summer, and the difference is great. It gives, not only does it give us a chance to kind of do some of our work together, but the opportunities for collaboration, especially something like this, you know, one of our assignments preparing for it is really looking through comment sections in, looking through comment sections, looking for strategies, and doing that work where they can pair up and work together is really beneficial, because some students have a lot of experience with comment sections, and kind of the myth of the digital native doesn't really apply to everyone. Mm-hmm. And so that's one aspect of it. But it's also just helps with their ability to do research and share sources. And also we have a discussion board where they can contribute different tools, different ways that different tools that they use to help improve their writing process, mm-hmm. is along with maybe fun and interesting things, articles that they find about trolling.
Cool. If anyone is interested in researching this trolling or trolling strategies, or where would be a good place to start?
Okay. Well, there's a older New York Times article from 2008 called Trolls Among Us by Matthias Schwartz.
Trolls Among Us.
Yeah. I think that's when it first started kind of becoming public and people started taking recognition. There's a nice book by Whitney Phillips called This Is Why We Can't Have Nice Things. She kind of compares offline and online culture, and kind of might come to the conclusion that perhaps they're not quite so different. It's been a cultural shift. But as far as kind of an academic research, there's, as a way in, Susan Herring and colleagues' article Searching for Safety Online, Managing Trolling in a Feminist Forum is a nice article that shows analysis and talks about different strategies and kind of walks someone through.
Cool.
This was, it really matters how you define trolling. And so, especially if you're going to analyze it. Mm-hmm. And so we stick to a kind of conservative definition of it being kind of disingenuous communication meant to bait or upset others, or it being deliberately uses of deception and manipulation, mm-hmm. To create a context conducive to triggering and antagonizing conflict. Mm-hmm. And so basically, how does trolling disrupt conversation, mm-hmm. in comment sections? And within this, it's kind of interesting thinking about perhaps the origins of the word trolling, mm-hmm. is less meaningful, perhaps, is the actual idea of the mythical troll under the bridge trying, mm-hmm. to grab someone, mm-hmm. but more of the fishing metaphor of trying to bait and see who, mm-hmm. Latches on. And so when we analyze trolling, it becomes really interesting just because first we look at strategies and try to figure out who the troll is, but also thinking about how these strategies are trying to bait and provoke certain types of people. Mm-hmm. We can oftentimes politically left or right, often sexist, sometimes racist, but can think about how these strategies are trying to provoke certain types of people. But even more interesting, looking in comment sections, is our ability to look at like user responses. And in a way, we can figure out, did it work? What happens as a result of these strategies? And some of them, and it doesn't always happen in typical ways. Sometimes it might not necessarily be a productive conversation, but it will generate a lot more writing afterwards. Mm-hmm. So the responses can take a lot of different ways. And so just as a text that like looks at digital rhetorics, I think it offers a lot of just ways of looking at the production of writing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. When you're analyzing a comment section, I mean, that's something that I would think of as changing pretty quickly. Are you looking at newer articles?
Yeah, so often I would recommend looking at something somewhat static, mm-hmm. maybe from nothing too distant, but maybe something like 2 years old or a year old. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because that's always a problem is people delete things, people get deleted. So something that's a little bit static is helpful because, yeah, these are living communities and change. It's a text that gets altered all the time. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What's like a, if somebody in a rhetoric classroom wanted to do just one little trolling exercise, can you think of anything that would be like easy to do with a class just to kind of explore a comments section, the lesson, short lesson or exercise?
Yeah,
or anything?
I mean, we spent a day and we kind of dove right in. Mm-hmm. Just looking at a list of strategies and the way they work and going to an actual comment section, it's really kind of a place where you got to go and do a little bit of research and dig around a bit. My advice usually is look for threads that have a lot of responses, mm-hmm. really long threads. Go to place comment sections where people are responding to one another, mm-hmm. and not just leaving a comment and then a new comment and a new comment. Response really becomes a part of it. Mm-hmm. But for a class, you know, if you have an hour and 15 minutes, just introducing some of the strategies, and especially even something easy like Susan Herring's article, to pull out those four major strategies, mm-hmm. and look around in a comment section. Mm-hmm. And see what students find. Yeah.
what trolls they find.
I would recommend doing it in a collaborative way, so mm-hmm. they can kind of talk about it and they're not lone wolfing. They have to, they can discuss it. It's a bit confusing and hard to mm-hmm. tell for all sorts of reasons. Anonymity, also written text, it's hard to read things like sarcasm, mm-hmm. Intention. It's really difficult. And so students being able to talk about that's really important.
All right. Well, thank you.
Again.